For our lesson this afternoon, I want to start with this verse, 16th verse of the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. For the beginning with the 9th verse, we'll begin, it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's my thought, that's my text, you might say. We have the mind of Christ. When you think about the mind, I think of the intelligence, the ability to think, the ability to discern things. The mind is the most complicated machine in the world. They talk about computers that can do this and do on a chip the size of your fingernail. They can put 100,000 different problems on it and things like that. But nothing can compare in complexity with the mind of man. A man's mind is the most wonderful creation that there is in this whole world. Our mind is our guiding influence. We do the things and say the things and go where the mind of our mind directs us and leads us and teaches us. It is a controlling factor in our lives, and what kind of a mind we have is going to determine in a great extent the kind of life that we live. If we have a poor mind, a mind that's bordering on a senile or psychotic, or a mind that's just plain hard to learn. If we have that kind of mind, we're not going to advance very much in this world. If we have a brilliant mind, a mathematical mind, or a great memory or something like that, our mind can control in a great extent the kind of life that you and I are going to live. And I think what the apostle says here, but we have the mind of Christ. Christ, who knows all things, is all wise, is all present, is all powerful. I think if we are privileged to have his mind, how wonderful a blessing that is for us, for you and for me, to have the mind of Christ. Some minds are brilliant in some ways, and some minds are more brilliant in other ways. I think about how man has a mind that he can, things that he knows that he can't do, he can produce a tool that will do. And he can utilize powers and things that are in this world. He can fly 300-400 people through the air in a big, great big plane that weighs 80 or 100,000 pounds, fly through the air at 500 miles an hour. Why? Because he had a mind and was able to utilize the natural forces, the power of gasoline and the power of the carbons and the oxygens, things combine and make powerful things. He could send men to the moon, fly them up there, send them up there with a rocket, land them on the moon without hitting it hard enough to kill them, get out and walk around on it and pick up rocks and bring them back and things like that. A man can do things like that because he has a mind. He can't move a rock out there maybe, but he can get another rock and a long pole and he can prise it under and make a lever there and he can move things that he can't move in his own strength. Things that he can't do himself, he can provide a tool that can do them. Now, if we're going to have the mind of Christ, we're going to have a spiritual mind. This he that is spiritual judgeth all things. And he compares spiritual things with spiritual things. And we want to have a mind, not a mathematical mind, not a mind like the aeronautical sciences men have over there, but a mind to perceive and find and do the will of God, to do the work of God. To do that, we're going to have a clear mind. It's not going to be foggy. It's going to have to think in definite terms and definite way, and that is possible for you and me to have a mind that's trained on the line that you and I are interested in. If we want to pursue a certain subject, we want to study history, if we want to know history, we can put our mind to that, read historical books, and maybe come to the place where we can write history ourselves. If we want to know the multiplication, and division and subtraction and addition, we can work on that and train our mind. We can train our mind to do marvelous things. What we call faith, some psychics call it the power of the mind to do things. The mind can do so and so. The mind. I read about they had an experiment in France. There's a man convicted of, I believe it was murder, and he was going to be put to death. And the doctors thought they'd experiment on this man and put him to death without cause his mind to put himself to death. They blindfolded him so he couldn't see what was going. They bound his hands down. And they made little scratches on his wrist this way and then let warm water run across his wrist. And they talked about how the blood is pouring out of him and how he's bleeding to death and went on. And they just talked that man into dying right there on the table without losing a drop of blood. His mind had such an effect upon his body that after a while, he imagined that he was dying. He thought he was dying, and he did die. The mind of man is a powerful thing, but it must be directed in the right direction if it's going to cause you and me to go to heaven when we leave this world. And so God's Word gives us some instructions for our mind. And I thought maybe I would read in the fourth chapter of... Well, what I want... Philippians or Colossians? Fourth chapter of Philippians. Now these are instructions for you and me to pay attention to. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now that doesn't leave us room to be sad in the Lord, does it? that's a goal that the apostle is offering to you and to me, to rejoice in the Lord always. When I get stranded on the plane, riding a pass, stand by, and paying passengers fill up the plane and don't leave any room for a standby to ride on, and I've got to stay there and wait for another plane or go to a motel or something like that. Can I rejoice in a time like that? We can rejoice in a time like that if after we see the results sometime. We can't maybe not be able to see God working at the time, but I remember when wife and I got married and we was going to Bermuda on our honeymoon. We got down to the, parked our car at the airport there in Atlanta, going to fly to New York and catch a plane from New York to Bermuda. Bermuda's 600 miles out in the ocean, out in the Atlantic Ocean from New York, and we was going there for our honeymoon. And we got the bus that hauled the employees of Eastern Airlines from their parking lot over to the terminal was late, kind of. And we got to the terminal building, went up to turn in our pass and ride on the plane. And we was 5 minutes, the plane was going to leave at a certain time, and we got there 5 minutes before time for that plane to leave. But the ticket agent says, well, we've already closed the door. You can't get on. We've already closed the door of the plane. Well, I said, well, mister, we're on our honeymoon, and that's going to mess up things for us, you know. Well, he says, I can't help it. We can close the door as much as 15 minutes before the scheduled time if we need to. And so we've already closed the door, and you can't go. Well, there wasn't something to rejoice over now. Didn't sound like. But, you know, it was something to rejoice over. It was a real blessing to us, but we didn't recognize it at that time. Our mind didn't take in what the mind of God was. And he says, there's a plane that goes from here to Baltimore, and you can fly from Baltimore to Bermuda just the same as you could fly from New York. We'll put you on the plane to Baltimore. And so he said you won't get there but about 2 hours later than you would on the New York plane. So he put us on the plane. We went to Baltimore and got on the plane and got down to Bermuda and found out that there was 6,000 people stranded in New York by a big snowstorm. They were stranded there for 2 or 3 days. Y'all maybe remember that about 10, 11 years ago, reading about the whole New York airport is just flooded with snow and ice, and planes are all grounded. It was a real blessing to us. We had been there in that bunch there. If we, by going on to another way and missing that particular plane, we got a real blessing. Rejoice in the Lord always. If you can't see the thing to rejoice in something that comes your way, let your mind turn toward God. What does the scripture say? For we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. We know that all things work together for good. This part of it may be unhappy, but this part over here will overbalance that, you know. And good will come out of the things that come to you and to me if we love the Lord. That's the keynote. To love the Lord and live for Him and serve Him. Yes, just like we saw that. I still tell that sometimes because I thank the Lord that we didn't get stranded in New York City for 3 days because of a snowstorm. But by getting there and the man having the door shut when we got there, why, we avoided a real trouble time. Be careful for nothing. Now, I don't know whether I can just tell you exactly what that means, but I believe it means this. Don't get all disturbed and worked up, no matter what comes against you or happens to you. Don't get all disturbed and worked up over it. Don't let care burden you down because of something that's gone different to what you wanted to. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about anything? Would that be about the same thing as be careful for nothing? Don't worry about anything. Did you ever worry? Did you ever get all disturbed and worried and worried and not wonder how things are going to turn out and afraid they wasn't going to turn out right. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, here's where our mind comes into play. If we'll stop and think, when we get into some sort of thing that's troubling us, if we'll stop and think that God loves us, and we have turned ourselves, our lives, and all over to God, we've said, Lord, I turn myself, spirit, soul, mind, body, my family, my pocketbook, my everything, turn it over to you, dedicated and consecrated to you, and I'm going to let you exercise yourself in running my life. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, turn our mind toward God when things are seeming to be going against us. Lord, now you said we know that all things work together for good. And this may not seem to be good to me at the present time, but I'm standing on your word. Something good will eventually come to pass, and I'm not going to let myself be worried and discouraged and hurt and hindered about it. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I like peace, don't you? coming on the plane yesterday from Dallas to Atlanta, there's a little child on there just squalling and squalling and squalling and squalling and squalling and squalling. I expect it's called 3/4 of the way from Dallas to Atlanta. They didn't seem to be able to do anything about it and for it. Till it squalled itself to sleep finally, maybe. Got on the plane there at Atlanta to come over here. And his colored man had two youngsters. Little girl about that way and a little baby, a smaller baby. They had the front seat over here, and he sat over here on the aisle across from him, and I was back here 3 seats. And that little baby child, it just squalled and squalled and squalled and squalled. They didn't pay no attention to it. It just hollered and the peace of God. Now, I like peace is what I was starting to say there. And I'd have liked for that child to have had peace. <It's> And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts. Oh, dear ones, that's a precious promise to me. The peace of God is available to you and to me. Amen. If we'll turn our minds and set them on God. Not on circumstances, not on what things are happening, but think about God. We can have His peace right here in our souls, right here in this world. Finally, brethren, now he's going to give us some final advice here, or final thinking. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Whatsoever things are true, think on them. Whatsoever things are honest, think on them. Whatsoever things are just, think about them. Whatsoever things are pure, think about them. Whatsoever things are lovely, think about them. Whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things.
Yes, good,
think on these things. Now, the world is not thinking on these things. This mad, lust-crazed world is not thinking on things that are just and things that are pure and things that are lovely and things that are clean and things that are of good report. The world, the mind of the world, is on contrary things to what the apostle here advises you and me to think on. I was thinking about on the plane back there. They were sitting out here, you know, and they put up a screen up here like this and put a moving picture there on the screen right there in front of it. Sister, have you ever seen that happen? You know what I'm talking about. And you know, I don't believe in going to moving picture shows, down the theater. I believe that's a place to stay away from. Right there in front of you, no way to you'd have to shut your eyes or turn around to keep from seeing some things, but there it was, right there, blaring out before you. The evil things, lust things. I'd shut my eyes, and every time I'd open, there'd something be going on. And it's hard. It's hard. There's a fascination about those things. There's something there, like you're in an action of some kind. It's just hard to keep your mind off of what you're seeing up there. I'd say, Lord, I'd shut my eyes and say, Lord, I think of you up there on Calvary's Hill, on the cross up there dying for me. And I want to think about something pure and something good and something clean and something lovely and something precious to us. Open my eyes and there be that guy trying to seduce some other woman, and he always seemed like he failed, and he got so frustrated he finally jumped off the building and killed himself. But it was just a mess there. Evil things going on, all kind of lot of evil things, and to try to keep your mind on things that are pure and on things that are good and on things that are lovely. I saw some lovely flowers by the church house there at Shreveport. Alma's worked hard to put some lovely flowers there. The yards in Germany, it seemed like those people love flowers over there. Every yard seemed like had pansies around for a border all the way around it, and great big old tulips, maybe that big, great big pretty red and yellow and purple tulips. And I think about things that are lovely. You know, God has made a lovely world for you and me to look at. The trees are lovely. The grass is lovely. If God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is in heaven, how much more shall he clothe you of your little faith? Don't be troubled about it. Be careful for nothing, about what you eat and what you wear and so on. The places where you go, you can see the mountains, you can see the rivers, you can see the hills, you can see the forests, the clouds, the stars, the sun and the moon. There's lots of lovely things for you and me to look at. Then they'll put up a signboard with a great big whiskey bottle on it, or a half-naked woman, or something like that, and talk about what a wonderful artist, so on, so on, so on. But, dear ones, we won't have the mind of Christ. What would Christ do with the things that are degrading and defiling? He'd keep his mind off of those things. I believe Christ was a man about 33 and a half years old when he died. I believe he was just as pure when he died as he was when he came into the world. I believe he was a clean man. I believe they put out pictures show the love life of Christ. I didn't see it or read nothing, but I just saw that there was a picture show by the name of the love life of Christ. And I don't think Christ had any what we'd call love like that between man and woman. I don't think there's anything like that in Christ. And so God's wanting you and me to have a pure mind. And let's cultivate a pure mind. The TV, for instance, they say the night shows are just so immoral, so godless, so lust-inspiring, and so on. The magazine stands are filled with lustful pictures and things like that, pornography they call it now. And Brother Karl Bauske over there in Germany wanted me to go home with him one night. Two nights we went home with him and pray for his son. He had a 21-year-old son. He said the boy was a good boy and so on. And he'd ask his father a time or two, a few times, to pray for him. And he thought maybe that if I could get a talk with that boy, I might be able to help him in a spiritual way to get saved. His wife and the boy's mother was a Roman Catholic. She was nice and friendly to us in answer to prayer. The first time I went over there, Brother Karl Bauske, he was saying that his wife was hard on him and got after him about He drove 40 miles to be in church service, 40 miles twice a week, round trip for 80 miles there, and gasoline about $1.75 a gallon over there, and they don't even sell it by the gallon, but they sell it by the liter, and you paid about 50 cents for a liter, and there's over 3 liters, 3 3/4 liters in a gallon. That runs it up around $1.75 a gallon. She was fussing at him for driving the car to church, having to buy so much gasoline. And so he told us, the congregation, we had just about as many, about 35, I guess, about as many as here this afternoon. And Brother Carl Baske asked us to pray for his wife, his Roman Catholic wife. And we prayed for her. And you could hear prayers all over the congregation. When they're praying over there, they don't pray one like we do here, and the rest say amen. They all pray at the same time. You can just hear humble prayers going up, each one praying, and after a while, that prayer comes to an end. They all get up then when the last one finishes praying. Pray for my wife. And so we prayed for her. I could just feel the atmosphere of love for Brother Carl Baske that the congregation had for him, wanting him to be delivered from some of the wife hardships that he was receiving. We prayed for her, and a day or two when he's back, I don't know, it was the next day or the second day, he said, yeah, I've got a new wife. I've got a new wife. And he says, she don't fuss at me anymore about spending my money for gasoline. And she says, if you want to take those preachers to the airport, we was 200 miles from the airport, Frankfurt. If you want to take those preachers out there, you can go and get them and take them yourself. That'd be a 400-mile trip about that he'd have to make, you know, and it'd take quite a bit of gasoline. And I think they get about 20, 25, 30 miles a gallon out of most those little Volkswagens over there mostly. And she says, going to start early, early on Sunday morning. Tell them not to eat any breakfast. Bring them down here by my home, and I'll give them a good breakfast. I'll give them a great big pot of black coffee. Yeah. coffee is high over there as well as it is over here, you know. And she thought that would be, for breakfast, they serve coffee or tea or citrus tea or something like that nearly always, along with marmalade and little cookies and little buns and things like that. She thought black coffee, a big pot of black coffee, would be really appealing to us. But she wasn't nice to us when we got there, and he carried us down to the airport in Brack. And he said, when we got over there the second time, he said, wife said that you can take him to the airport again if you want to. And so she was better. She showed a real friendly attitude toward us. But it's because the congregation put their mind on Christ, and it asked Christ to work on her mind down there, and Christ had worked on her mind. I believe that. I believe that God dealt with her. Praise the Oh, thank the Lord. Those experiences that I hope I don't worry y'all talking about them, but they were refreshing to me to meet the people over there that are sincere. They're really interested in living for the Lord, and they want the old time way too. That's what I like. They want the old time thing. Some of you may have heard me tell. Brother Herder, whose home we had the services in the first time we was over there, Brother Herder has been in Germany about a year and a half. He came from Russia. He was a German living in Russia, a German colony, you might say, over there in eastern Russia. And he has services in his home. And now, what was I going to tell?
Brother Herder comes from Russia and been there about a year and a half.
Yes.
His home has services.
Yes. You know, I'm going to be an old man. I talked to Sister Carter's son-in-law, a doctor, and I said, what about you can't bring up a word. There's a word, you know it, but you just can't fish it out. And we call it a ready recall. A ready recall is, in other words, my forgetter was getting better all the time. easy. I could forget better than before. And, oh, he says, that just shows the approach of senility. So you're listening to this old man is approaching senility now. I hope the Lord let me keep the mind of Christ as long as I live in this world. I don't want to ever come to the place where my mind is gone. Some people's bodies outlive their mind, and see them in the rest home where they don't have. It's a pitiful thing. And you all pray that God will help me to keep a good mind as long as He lets me stay here in this world. Well, those people over there, the German church, in the early part of the church, the German church was always separate from the English church. There was some intermingling, but the Germans, not knowing the English language, they had their own services, German songs, they sang German songs and had German preachers preach to them, and they didn't try to have integrated services. And they're still that way. Well, now the church in Russia has not compromised like the church in Germany has. The church in Germany has gone just as far in compromise as the Anderson people, the Caucasians. Well, no, the Germans are Caucasians too, aren't they? Anyhow, on account of the difference in languages, they have gone just as far. The big German church originated back there at the time, along with the Anderson people, is just as far away from old-time living as the Anderson people are. They've traveled parallel paths, but they've both traveled down and lost the thing. But the Russian church hasn't lost out. They're still wanting to stand for the old-time way. Brother Herder knew some in a congregation 333 miles away that had come from Russia over there, and he was troubled about them. He says the liberal side, now by liberal I mean the compromise side, this Russian group that come down to Forsheim, they were being influenced by the compromise group. They bought a big, nice church building down there. They paid $430,000 for it, 800,000 Dutch marks for it. Bought it, and they were the liberal church, the compromise church, was helping them pay, and they put one of their pastors in. And Brother Herder was troubled because this congregation was falling under the liberal influence. I said, "Well, let's go see them." Right, so we got a Brother Herder's son offered to let us have his Volkswagen, four-door Volkswagen, to go down there and visit that congregation down there. He let us have it for 100 marks to make the round trip. That'd be over 600 miles for $54. And so I said, "Sure, we'll just go down there." So we closed out the services in Wolfsburg at the noon service. I had lunch and then went down there 333 miles. And some of them have heard this, but bear with me while I call some of them haven't. We got down there. The minister, the lay minister, was there. Their regular pastor, man that they called pastor, or he called himself pastor, and they didn't like him very well. He had gone up to the Sunday school, Bible Sunday school, to learn how to run a Sunday school, and very, very compromising teaching that they was getting up there, and they already had more of his compromising than they wanted. And they were troubled about it and unhappy about him and that thing. And so he was there, and the lay preacher met us, very hospitable, invited us and brought us up to the front and set us down and wanted me to preach to him. And so Brother Mueller and I, when preaching time, they were singing when we got there and had prayer. And you know, by the way, they knelt for prayer. That congregation did. They hadn't got away from that. And we got up and talked to them. Brother Mueller interpreted. And then he talked to them. And then they wanted Brother Herder to talk to them. And our line of thought is the same line that we sometimes talk on over here. Let us earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That's a special subject that needs to be preached today right here in America, I'll tell you that. To contend, earnestly contend for the faith that was once preached for the saints, delivered to the saints. And we talked on that. Then the lay minister got up and talked a few minutes, and we had to close the service. And he said, come back tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, we're going to have service again tomorrow night. So they wanted us, you know, to take over service tomorrow night, give us a chance like that. And he invited Brother Mueller and myself to go home with him. So we went home with him that night and sat up till 1 or 2 o'clock, 12 or 1 o'clock, talking. And he said he was just ready to come out of that thing. He was really troubled about it. One was tired of the compromise, and looked around over the congregation. That night down there was bigger than this congregation. That was twice as big as this congregation. I guess every man there, nearly, as best I remember, had on a necktie. Well, we talked about earnest to contend for the faith as once delivered to the saints. Well, some of the things that we stood for was brought out. So next night when we come down there, well, there wasn't but two neckties in the whole crowd. They measured up overnight, about 95% measured up overnight. And I thought that, I just couldn't help but think that showed that there was a sincerity there that we need to recognize and appreciate and do what we can to encourage those people. There needs to be some communication, integration between us and them. And I'm praying that the Lord will... they have preached that in Germany, in Brother Herder's home, 15 miles away, in another brother's home, and then that 330 miles away, we got to preach to three different places over there. And there's more in Brother Herder's home than was there when it was the first time. There's others coming to them. And I'm really encouraged about that. But you're not going to... When you begin to let down, when a congregation begins to let down, maybe the leaders are leading them to let down. If you don't have the mind of Christ, it'll keep on going down. And we must do what we can to keep the mind of Christ in ourselves, so that what we say and what we do and where we go, we'll help those to not lose the mind of Christ. And to think on things honest, what is it? Things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. If we can keep our minds on things like that, the devil is not going to have an avenue to get to us like he will. And you know that the cares of life, the deceitfulness of riches and making a living and all those things have, they've got a down-pulling tendency on us that we've got to keep on resisting and resisting and resisting. We've got to steel our minds to be able to come to the place where we can say no anytime something goes contrary to what we think it ought to. And it takes grace sometimes to say no. But God giveth. What is Brother Osterselis? God's word says God giveth more grace, and we can have all the grace we'll apply for. All we'll apply for. You don't see gasoline trucks going around filling up cars on the street. They've got to go to the filling station to fill their tank up. And we've got to go to the filling station to keep our tank full of grace. We're going to have to visit the filling station regular. Every day we need to start the day out with a full tank of grace, because we don't know what's going to happen during that day. Well, I think about man's mind that's conceived such things that he can send a rocket to the moon, and it's a going, and we're going, and the rockets are going, and yet man can figure out. The mind of man has conceived the ability to send another man other man in a rocket and land it on the moon and bring it back then. Man is capable of great things. His mind can do wonderful things. But it's wrong. His mind will lead him into the wrong thing unless God has control of it. Now, my little message this afternoon is, have the mind of Christ. Have the mind of Christ. Keep your mind stayed on Christ. And that young man over there that I was, Brother Carl Baskin wanted me to visit and talk to, his son. I didn't get to talk to him the first time I was over there, but this time I got to talk to him a little. We went a-walking. We went up a hill, got up on a little hill there where we could look over and see the watchtowers between East Germany and West Germany, where if an East German tries to escape and come into West Germany, these towers have got machine guns and minefields out there, and where they kill them, trying to keep them from escaping from East Germany. We got up there on top of the hill where we could see those towers, row of towers ever so far apart. There was a tower there that with guards in it with machine guns and grenades and things like that. And so the young man, I talked to him. I says, and among the things I says, now, the world is filled with filth and pornography today. I saw a magazine in his room. It was just too degrading to even say what was in it. And how could if you feast your mind on degrading things, how are you going to be high? How are you going to be pure? How are you going to be clean? How are you going to be holy? You're not going to be. And I thought I saw enough there to try to give him a warning. I'm sure he knew what I was talking about. Magazine right up there in his room there, where his daddy and mother and them could see it I was looking for a magazine of some kind to look at while Brother Mueller and Brother Carl Basker were talking. He had some problems he wanted to talk with Brother, and I didn't need to be in on them, and so I run across this and gave me a thought here. Don't think on things that are pure. That's in this text here, whatsoever things are pure. If there's any virtue, virtue now here means if there's anything worthwhileness. If there's any good things about us, if we're going, I don't mean virtue necessarily in the sense of sex, but virtue in the sense of worthwhileness. Somebody that's a blessing, somebody that's a help, somebody that you like to have, somebody that you can realize is doing things that are worthwhile. That's what virtue means here. If there be any virtue and a worthwhileness, think on pure, just, clean, holy, upright things. And when your mind, when the devil tries to lure your mind, you can see things. You can look at the trees. You can look at the beautiful. You can look at the mountains. You can look at the stars. But you look at a billboard and see something that you don't need to see. There's so much advertising now. Is trying to sell something by using a sex pattern to attract your attention to sell a product that not a, when you see a new car coming out, you see a woman standing up there, half naked maybe or worse, and we're going to be confronted with the necessity of keeping our minds on. And taking care of our mind. Guard your mind. Guard what you think about. When you see something that you don't want to see, have a already formed something to think about. To think about Christ. I've tried to... When something comes that I don't want to think about, I try to remember seeing three crosses up there on the hill